Welcome to 15 Minutes of Problem-Solving Discussion with Fred Kuhn and our next guest.
Welcome, everybody, to Workplace Strategies. And I have a very special guest today, someone I've known for a number of years. In my opinion, one of the best technical resume writers and coaches around. And so I'm welcoming Robin Schlinger today. Robin has incredible credentials. She, first of all, has a Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering from MIT. She is a Master Career Director, a Certified Master Resume Writer, a Certified Federal Resume Writer, a Certified Professional Resume Writer, Certified Electronic Career Coach, a Job and Career Transition Coach, and she added millions of dollars to the company's bottom line as a Senior Engineer and Planning Analyst after earning the bachelor's from MIT in chemical engineering. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the introduction. Would like to say that since I stopped working as a chemical engineer, I have been writing and coaching folks for over 15 years with my company, Robin's Resumes.
So Robin, the issue today is applicant tracking system, and there are barriers, and there are dozens of these. How many are there? There's a lot of them, aren't there?
There's a lot of ATS systems, several hundred of them, depending on how you count them. However, there are only a few that are the big major ones. Taleo, which is one of the oldest ones, right, still accounts for about 30% of all the jobs that are online. And then there are other ones like ICIMS, there's ones from IBM, and several other ones, which account for about 80 to 90% of all of the ones that are out there. So there's really a handful that account for most. And for most of them, if you tend to concentrate on Taleo and can get through that, most likely your resume will get through the other systems.
So let's put the cart before the horse. Why don't you tell everybody what an applicant tracking system is and why it poses barriers, and what are those barriers?
Okay. Before the advent of the internet, everybody applied for jobs by going ahead and sending a paper resume in, and a company maybe would get 100 resumes or less if they put out an advertisement in a newspaper, and a person would physically read those resumes. In the early 2000s, late 1990s, early 2000s, Monster and other job boards became prevalent, and they started getting many more resumes for jobs. In addition, they started to accept not only paper resumes coming in, but electronic resumes coming in Word or other formats. And that, along with needs of the federal government to track the number of resumes that came in and companies putting on electronic systems to track everything else in the business, became the advent of companies physically taking in the data from a resume to do a pre-screen before handing it to a person. This saved people time in looking at resumes and also allowed them to sort out and perhaps find the needle in the haystack of the person they really needed to hire. So this is the basic history of ATS that came in, and Taleo, one of the early adopters, and eventually bought out. It had another name of a Canadian company, then it became Taleo, then it was bought out by Oracle, became one of the major ones out there for searching for jobs. So what an ATS does is look at your job announcement and the resume and tries to match them up and give a score and ranking system. So then the person who's reading the resumes doesn't need to read 1,000 resumes. Maybe they read 10 to 20 resumes instead. Saves a lot of time for somebody to physically read something and allows them to be able to look at the resumes without regard to a person's demographics. Let's say their race, religion, age, hopefully, but there's ways they can get around it. But this gives them a way to be able to do the statistics to make sure that they can get around discrimination.
Let me ask you this. What do these ATS systems scan for?
that depends on the system, but the things that they scan for, first of all, are job requirements, whether it be in the resume or in perhaps some pre-screening questions. So they're going to make sure that your resume has things like if you require to have a degree, you have a degree. If it requires certain experience within the keywords, that your resume mentions that you have this particular experience. And they also then may be screening for whether or not you're a local candidate. So it's important perhaps to have your address in there because they may eliminate every resume that doesn't have an address in there because they want somebody who is local perhaps. It also will screen for just about every phrase or keyword within the job announcement. In many cases, the scoring system is automatic based on the job announcement, or it could be something that a person who is an HR manager or hiring manager or recruiter may search through the database for specific keywords. So it's really searching for the match to the job. And then based on the number of years of experience within that keyword, it will assign a score to the resume. How close a match are you to those keywords and requirements to be able to send that resume over to a human?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot to know in terms of how to get around and bypass it. So can we move to that part? Is there anything else before we get to the part of, okay, how do you get around this?
Okay, there's one thing that is really important to do, whether you're dealing with a company with ATS or not, is most companies these days, about 90% of them, will use ATS. So you're not going to get around it by simply networking. Even though your resume may be sent through, still you have an 80 to 90% better chance of being hired, even with the ATS, if you've already networked to the job. That said, if you network to the job, maybe they'll write the job announcement with the keywords already in your resume, so your resume will already get through. But if you are creating a resume, you can figure out how to pass this ATS. It takes two things. One, you need a resume that is formatted so the ATS will read it. Not all formats are the same. Many ATS, and there's no one set rule because things are improving all the time, but still many ATS will not read PDF files correctly. So do not send a PDF file to apply for a job unless you know for a fact that it reads it correctly. Since between the top three, we know that they don't read ATS correctly. Well over 50% of the jobs that you're going to apply for ATS, if you send a PDF, there is a good possibility your resume won't even be read properly. Some of it may be read, but you're taking Russian roulette in your hands. However, you don't need to send an ASCII file. You can send a Word file as long as you don't have tables in it. Any boxes like Johnson boxes or text boxes in your file that you expect to be read, or any important information in the header or footer, such as putting your name or address in the header or footer. If you have a flat file, that will help you. In addition, using standard headings will help you. So it's going to be looking for words such as summary because it knows what to do with that, such as work experience because that's a key for the program to know that it's going to look for what you did in each of those jobs. Then you also need to put in education. You need to put in your skills. You need to put in your certifications. And those are the kind of major headings that most ATS use. You can put in other information if you want. It may or may not be read by the ATS. Once you've figured out how to make that format, and if you email me with the contact information, I will be able to send you a template that you can fill in that meets those requirements that will be read properly by most ATS systems. Once you've done the format, you need to include the keywords. So you need to include something that makes the resume readable to both the computer as well as to the person who is reading about you. So you need to take every single phrase that's in the job announcement, including what's required and what the duties are, and see if you've done something that matches it. So let's say the job requires that you have done process engineering. And I would say, I saved the plant $20 million by doing process engineering to determine the cause of losses of waste. And then you can go through a litany of other keywords if it required you to use certain equipment or certain kinds of analyses. So you've put in that you saved the plant $20 million, which is what the reader wants to read, and then you do the buy with all the other keywords that are in the job announcement, which gets it through the ATS, which is not what the reader is going to be reading for, because he already knows that you meet the keywords. He's reading, or she's reading, the hiring manager is reading to see what they can do for you, for the company.
Right. So it almost sounds like every job you apply to, the resume needs to be adjusted according to the keywords that are being sought by the company in that job description. Is that correct?
That is correct. However, once you start putting together 5 or 6 or 7 jobs that you can do, then the job announcements start looking somewhat the same. So the amount of tweaking becomes less and less. But if you truly want a job and you customize, you will get through that ATS, and now it's up to you to network for that job or be selected for that job. The more you are a good match for a job and the more the job is uniquely yours, the better off you're going to be just applying for jobs online. For example, for me, I'm a chemical engineer with had unique skills. I could apply for jobs online and get them. However, if you're a secretary where you have 50 people or 100 people who have the same skill set as you, not only applying online is going to help you, you're also going to need to network to the job. And in all cases, networking will help.
Robin, thank you very much. Robin Schlinger has been our guest today. If you wish to contact Robin, you can read her biography and her contact information on the guest biographies page of our website. Really appreciate you being here, Robin.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.